Chapter 11. The next day, Elizabeth and Jane finally returned to Longbourn. Mrs. Bennet was not pleased. She worried that Jane was not well enough, and also wanted her to spend more time with Mr. Bingley. However, their father was really glad to see them. Without them, he had been bored by the evening conversation at home. Chapter 12.
"I hope, my dear," said Mr. Bennet to his wife at breakfast the next morning, "that you have a good dinner prepared today. Our family shall be joined by a guest."
"What do you mean, my dear? I know of no visitor," replied Mrs. Bennet.
"It is my cousin, Mr. Collins, who, when I am dead, may turn you all out of this house as soon as he pleases."
"Oh, my dear, pray do not talk of that odious man," cried Mrs. Bennet.
"I received a letter from him about a month ago. He seems to be a very polite young man, and wishes to make peace with us. We may expect him at 4 o'clock," declared Mr. Bennet.
Mr. Collins arrived on time. He was a tall young man, of about 25, with a serious, formal manner. He complimented Mrs. Bennet on the beauty of her daughters, and added that he expected they would soon find good husbands.
"You are very kind, sir, and I hope you are right, for if you are not, they shall be destitute," replied Mrs. Bennet.
"You allude, perhaps, to the future of this estate," said Mr. Collins.
"Indeed I do. It is a grievous affair for my poor girls. Of course this is no fault of yours. Such things are mere chance.
I am aware of your problem, and perhaps we can speak more about it later." Mr. Collins expressed his admiration not only for Mrs. Bennet's daughters, but also for the house and its furniture, and when they went to dinner, he also admired the meal.
Chapter 13. After dinner, Mr. Bennet asked Mr. Collins about Lady Catherine de Bourgh, who had recently given Mr. Collins his position as a clergyman. When he spoke of Lady Catherine, Mr. Collins became even more solemn in his manner and lengthy in his praise of her. He talked about her in great detail, mentioning that she had already invited him to dine with her twice, that she had advised him to marry as soon as possible, and that she had visited him at home and suggested that he put some shelves in the cupboards upstairs.
"She sounds very agreeable," said Mrs. Bennet, after Mr. Collins had finally finished talking. "I think you said she was a widow? Has she any family?"
"She has one daughter, who is most charming and refined. Unfortunately, she is of a sickly constitution, which has prevented her from making progress in many accomplishments. But she is very friendly, and often drives by my humble abode."
"Has she been presented?"
"Unhappily, her state of health prevents her from being in town. As I told Lady Catherine one day, it is a great loss to London." She seemed pleased with the idea, and I am always happy to offer these delicate little compliments, which ladies find so agreeable.
"You are lucky to have such a talent for flattery," said Mr. Bennet. "May I ask whether you think of such words at the moment of speaking, or if you plan them in advance?"
"They arise chiefly from the present conversation, even though I sometimes prepare a few phrases that can be adapted to the situation. I always wish them to sound natural."
Mr. Bennet listened to Mr. Collins, amused at his absurd seriousness, but he managed to keep a straight face.
Chapter 14. Now that Mr. Collins had a good house and a sufficient income, he wished to marry. He planned to marry one of the girls at Longbourn as a way of making amends for inheriting the estate. His first choice was Jane, and the very next morning decided to speak to Mrs. Bennet about the possibility. However, he soon learned from Mrs. Bennet that Jane was soon likely to be engaged to another man. It only took a minute for Mr. Collins to change his choice from Jane to Elizabeth. Mrs. Bennet was greatly pleased at the thought that she might soon have two of her daughters married. Chapter 15. The girls decided to walk to Meryton, and Mr. Bennet, who was anxious to get rid of Mr. Collins, invited him to join them. During the walk, they smiled politely at him, even though they were bored by his talk. But when they reached the town, the attention of every young lady was caught by a very handsome young man they had never seen before, walking together with Mr. Denny, Lydia's favourite officer. Mr. Denny introduced his friend as Mr. Wickham. Mr. Wickham planned to join the officers, and the girls agreed that he would look perfectly charming in a uniform. They spoke for a few moments, and then noticed Darcy and Bingley riding towards them. Mr. Bingley was highly pleased to see Jane. He had been on his way to Longbourn to inquire about her health. Suddenly Darcy noticed Mr. Wickham, and his manner changed. Both men looked completely shocked. Darcy quickly turned and left, followed by Bingley. Elizabeth was astonished. She spoke to Jane about it, but neither could explain what had happened.